This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Green and White, the weekly Argyle Life podcast. With us this week, we've got Finn.
Hello.
And we've got Sam.
Hello.
Now, both of you are at Torquay on Saturday, right?
Yes, we both were.
What did you think, Sam? What did you think of the game? And Ryan Broom, of course, new signing.
Yeah, very impressed with the game. One of the most convincing performances of pre-season, for sure. No, it was only against the National League side, but it was a side that nearly went up. And obviously, it was the fact that we just, not only did we win 3-0, but we looked so totally in control of the game from start to end. Torquay didn't really have any chances at all. We had quite a lot, and actually converted three of them. And our conversion hasn't been too good up to now this pre-season. But a lot of missed chances. So, yeah, that was about as good an end to pre-season as we could have realistically asked for, really. Apart from winning like 10-0 or something, it was certainly, from the realism point of view, that was about as good an end to pre-season as we could have asked for. Ryan Broom really did impress. Looked very, very quick to move the ball forward. Very, very accurate in his passing. It was actually him. Ennis will rightly get the credit for the first goal, but the move actually started with Broom. It was a really good, he picked up the ball in quite a tight space, and rather than just, you know, punt it like some players would do, or rather than just turn and try and play it back like some players would do, he really knew, when he knew he didn't have a lot of time and a lot of space, he threaded a really composed sort of through ball to Ennis, who then managed to take on a defender and get through and ultimately run pretty much all the way through Torquay's half and score. But it was, you know, Broom that started the move. So, yeah, very good from him. Just looked very impressive all game, really. Very very sharp, always wanting the ball. Just an all-round good performance to complement the all-round good team performance.
Finn, is this where you'd see, based on this performance, is this where you'd see Broom long-term? Because I think we all, like, he could play up front. I think the first thought I had when we signed was maybe he's going to be competition backup, wing-back. Either right, more likely right, but also left. But then centre mid is also clearly another option. It's where he played. Correct. I'm right in saying he played that, right?
Yeah. He played in Mayer's position.
So not only talking about taking Danny Mayer out of the equation, we've obviously got two centre mid positions. Is this where you see him playing, centre mid?
I mean, I would say yes, because, Lowe likes overly attacking players, doesn't it? Not overly attacking players is the wrong word, but he likes attacking players and he likes to use their attacking strengths. So I think from a logistical point of view, I think it would be good for Mayer to have some competition. So I hope so, but at the same time, we've still really only got one right wing back if you put Broom in centre mid, so maybe he can just cover two positions, like Byron. Like when Byron Moore was here, he kind of went right wing back, sometimes he went striker, you know, sort of.
Left wing back.
Right wing back, left wing back, and sometimes went striker, yeah.
Yeah,
I think the key is to have players who can cover many positions, even if, you know, ideally you always like to say, oh, two players for every position, but even if it doesn't work out quite as perfectly as that, the good thing is that, you know, I'd say always have at least three players who can cover a certain position, which I think we do, because obviously you've got Edwards, it's going to be the first choice. Broom could certainly play there, and obviously if he did move out there, you could move one of the central midfielders who weren't playing in the central midfield. And then you've also got Randall, who could play out there as the right wing back if he had to. And if all three of those were impossible, I suppose you've even got James Bolton, if he ever gets fit, not primarily going to play there, but it's another option, if even if it only is an option of last resort. So, you know, you always like to have lots of fans.
I seem to recall Portsmouth fans mentioning that he was very much in the Gary Miller school of...
Right, yeah, and as I said, it would only be an option of last resort. You know, for certain things, good to have a lot of...
I'm not even going to put him down as an option of right wing back at this point.
Fair enough. Well, even if you do
it... Unless we are backs of the wall defending one goal lead against, I don't know, the league leaders or something.
Well, look, that scenario could happen. We never know. But like Sunderland away last season, that kind of game. So anyway, but either way, he would be at best fourth choice. We can agree on that. But either way, that's three ahead of him who could very much play there. On the left side, you've obviously got Conor Grant, Law, Broom can play out there, and obviously George Cooper to come back. So whichever way you look at it, whichever way you cut it, if it are two centre midfielders, obviously you've got Mayer, Broom, Camara, Grant, and Randall, who can play in the more advanced role. So whichever way you look at it, you've got, you know, more than two players per position, haven't you? Which is exactly what we need.
I mean,
you do feel that Broom rounds out the centre mid area in terms of options. Before then, it was looking a little bit thin in terms of, you obviously had you obviously had Conor Grant, Danny Mayer and Kamara.
Yeah.
Randall can play there. No, Randell. We know it's Randell, right?
Randall.
No, it's Randall. It's Randall. He had a press conference and it's Randall.
Yeah. I don't know. Now I've gone to the stage where I remember what... Now we know that one is wrong. I'm now forgetting which one.
You're forgetting which one. No, it's Randall.
Yeah, exactly. Randall... it's Randall. Sorry, I said this out right now. It's after a year of correcting myself. To Randell. So Randall can play there, but obviously is, you know, primarily there to be defensive mid cover. And just while you've got a few options, you run the risk that once you get a couple of injuries, and all of a sudden you've got no one on the bench to come on. So Broom just sort of rounds out quite nicely. He can cover a lot of positions, as a few can, and we can mix and match. And that's not necessarily always ideal, because you don't want to, say you have a player injured, you only make one change, but sometimes it means you have to move three players around to swap positions to balance it out. So it's not always ideal that way, but it does feel like maybe with a loan signing, for example, you can, you know, you feel like the midfield's done now.
Yeah.
Even though ideally I'd like an actual defence midfield option. Maybe that's Joe Edwards and someone else goes to right wing back, but it doesn't feel like we have that position covered, really, a defensive midfield option.
Clearly Houghton and Randall are very talented, but they're more in the kind of David Fox mold, aren't they? They play in the defensive midfield position, but they're stylistically, they're not defensive midfielders. They're deep line midfielders who play make from deep line. They're not sort of crunching, you know, ball winning defensive midfielders. Not that they can't ever win a tackle, but that's not primarily what they're about. That's not what their primary purpose is. I agree. It would be nice to have an option of that mold. Maybe we might sign one on loan, like we did with Josh Grant two seasons ago, albeit he was initially conceived of as a centre-back, but that's by the by. But yeah, it would certainly be nice to sign one more, shall we say, pure defensive midfielder, even if he's only for use in certain games, like, you know, away games or games against tougher opposition. It would be nice to add one more there, either if it's a loanee or whether it's a permanent player. And then I think the midfield is well and truly done, I agree. And the only other thing I would obviously really like to add, that I think low notes we want to add, is one more striker. And then I think with those two coming in, I'd be happy with the squad.
I want a loney centre-back as well.
I mean, I wouldn't say no to one if the budget allowed for one, but I wouldn't be worried if we didn't have one.
I'd much rather loan out someone like Tomlinson to Torquay to get a full season rather than, you know, just sort of being in around the team and barely playing. And I'd rather get a loney centre-back in. Personally, I think that's the other thing I want. I fancy we can probably squeeze three loneys in if we wanted. And you might think that some of those then won't play, but the squad depth is useful.
Particularly to be fair, the striker might be a permanent as well. If we were rumoured to be going for Paul Mullen, so we've obviously got some money budgeted for a striker. The striker could be a permanent, and then two more loneys, I guess.
And here's the thing, it might not be a free agent. We've actually got to a stage where, like, you know, we're bringing in players who aren't. It's just free agents, which feels weird compared to where we were not so long ago.
Yeah, I mean, what I would say is... one of the first comments I saw when I saw the team yesterday was Tomlinson to Torquay on loan. Obviously, I'm suggesting something, but I would kind of hope that kind of happens, you know, because I mean, I don't know. He was okay. He was okay, Tomlinson. I mean, it's a bad set of games to base your sample size on, but I don't know. I didn't really see much in Tomlinson, to be honest with you. And to be honest, like, I know, obviously, if we got someone in the Jerome Opoku mold, this season, I don't think that would be a bad signing given the players we signed around him. Because, like, Jerome Opoku, for example, was a perfectly... he had the attributes to be a perfectly capable defender at this level and was talented. He just didn't really have the experience to know how to use his ability in the right situation.
I feel like we're going to have a swear jar whenever a defender, and even the one that I liked, well, the two that I liked, I think they shouldn't be mentioned anymore. I think we'll just move on from that.
Yeah.
Yeah, last season's defenders are not associated with the happiest memories, yeah, are they?
No, sorry, but I just meant like...
No, I know what you mean. Okay, right. There are a few things I was going to ask. But I think one thing that I was really pleased with was to see Ennis get a goal, and a very good goal, right before, the last preseason before the start of the season. And I know we're going to then speak about, and I think we all know what the answer is going to be in terms of who would start up front away to Rotherham. But I really like the look of Ennis. I'm hoping that he kicks on and has a great season. Definitely should be aiming for double figures. I think all the strikers should be aiming for double figures. I'm not sure more than two will reach that far. Maybe only one will. But I think all of them should be aiming for double figures at the very least.
Yeah, I agree. Especially with the chances we create. I really like Ennis. I think he's a really, really good footballer. I think he has all the attributes to score, 10 plus goals in this division should his finishing improve. But it was really good finish. Like, this is what I've been saying with Ennis for months. He's got a really nice finish on him. And to be honest, both Ennis and Hardy have had good pre-seasons, to be honest, really. I think Hardy's come back fresh and looked eager to score goals. It just hasn't quite done it. Obviously, he scored yesterday and he scored a couple elsewhere, but, he's had a lot more chances to score a few more. So, yeah, they're definitely the two I would go up front with on Saturday, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a no-brainer. I think the overwhelming majority of the fans agree, Hardy and Ennis. I think there's a little bit of concern starting to emerge about Jeffcott now. Maybe it was a one-year wonder or whatnot, but he does look very low on confidence. He looks a little bit off the pace as well. He looks a little sluggish to the ball, sluggish getting to the ball, but also, touch seems a bit heavy, sluggish when he gets to the ball. He has done some good things this pre-season. He'd actually... The things he's done wrong are weirdly the things he wasn't never doing last season, wasn't doing so much last season. It was getting deep, it was playing the ball out, it was actually, coming deep and maybe even watching a bit of Harry Kane for England, coming deep and trying to be a playmaker. But he has done some of that kind of stuff quite well, but he's not...
Did he put Hardy clean through?
Yeah,
he put Hardy clean through.
Was that Bristol Rovers?
Yeah.
Bristol Rovers. He put someone else clean through in the home game. I can't remember now. Camara he put clean through in the home game, and Camara missed it as well. But yeah, he's put two players clean through, and he's done a couple
clean through.
What was that, sorry?
Camara put Jeffcott clean through.
No, that's the Bristol City game. I didn't go to that one. He put someone else clean through in one of the games.
Was
I
that
saw.
Against Middlesbrough? Because that's the one I haven't seen.
Against Middlesbrough, exactly. That was the game I went to, yeah. I didn't actually see Bristol City, I was working. But yeah, he put Camara through and he put Hardy through and a couple of other, lesser but still good passes from deep that he's been involved in. So I think he's looking on the positive side of life, there is that. But he's not that sort of sharp, electric fox in the box. I mean, look, and he was never quick. He was never, dynamic, athletic in the way that Hardy is or even Ennis is. But he was always, very mentally quick, very alert in the box, always onto every ball, always running onto the ball. But this pre-season, he has looked very sluggish in the box. He's not looked as sharp. His first touch has been a bit stodgy in places. He's let the ball get away from him. And he's just not looked as good in front of goal. I mean, okay, we did score our second goal from a rebound off his chance yesterday at Torquay. But I think we all well know that Jeffcott of last season wouldn't have needed a rebound. He would have just slotted that in from that position nine times out of ten. So are we? Is there cause to be worried? Is he genuinely the player we thought he was and is going through a rough patch now? Or was it the outlier? Or was actually last year the outlier? And this is actually a reflection of who he is, or maybe somewhere in between. Look, I mean, what do we think on that?
Do you want to add any more options to that ridiculously long list?
Yeah, well, you know, maybe.
Or is he?
Yeah, anyway,
is it an imposter?
No, I just think, look, I back him. Look, he hasn't lost the ability to be able to finish. You know, to set himself and finish in the box. We know he's got sort of limitations to his game that he can get better at and some that he can't. But I just think, like, because he's so low on confidence, which if you're a striker and you've gone 20 goals towards the end of last season scoring, plus internationals that you've played for the under 21s, you're not going to be...
20 games, you mean,
about 20 games about scoring. 20, mean, yeah.
Yeah, 20 games. Sorry.
You said 20 goals.
Yeah, sorry. 20 games without scoring any goals. You know, you're going to be low on confidence. And I think because, like, he is as good as anyone at the club finishing in the positions he does and doing what he does. But currently, because he's not scoring in such a long time, he's, you know, he's trying to make up for that in other areas of the game, which means that he's kind of abandoning his one biggest strength, which is getting in the box and getting on the end of chances from 2, 3, 4 yards out and finishing them. And I don't actually, maybe I'm overcomplicating it, but I don't actually really remember him seeing him in the box in the box yesterday too much.
This has been my big worry, because throughout all of pre-season, Ryan Hardy has been getting on the end of chances and getting in better positions than Jeffcott has. End of. Like, comfortably. Yeah. And Jeffcott's got the balance all wrong. I couldn't give... Like, I'm not sure whether this is... I'm not sure whose idea this is, why nothing's been done to rectify it. Source out, Ryan Hardy should be feeding Jeffcott, not the other way around. Simple as that. I don't know what Jeffcott's playing at. I don't know what
level he's
playing
at.
I'm not sure how... Just go back... When things like this are going wrong, you just need to compartmentalize. Go back to basics. Jeffcott, get in the 6-yard box, get free of your man, and wait for the ball. Simple as that. And he hasn't been doing it enough at all. There have been plenty of wide balls, and it doesn't feel like he's anywhere near the right place he needs to be sometimes. Sometimes it's not falling for him, but that's just been bugging me throughout the last 15 games.
No, I agree. I'm not exaggerating when I think there's maybe only one or two goals that he scored for our goal that have been actually on the run, and all of them has been when most of them have been when he's set and like ready to. I think two. I mean,
one of the few goals he scored when sprinting was literally an open goal against Swindon. You remember when Ryan Hardy? I think Hardy or Edwards robbed someone. Hardy ran close, squared it. Ran through and squared it.
That's Jeff literally the only one I can actually think of.
Jeff barely scored any on the run.
Pretty sure that's the only one.
Stationary, it's a touch. And whenever he is on the run, he seems to be far less likely to score. We've seen two examples in pre-season. We had the example away to Bristol Rovers last season and again away to Doncaster, I think it was. I put it in a player ratings a week or so back, but I can't remember where it was. Just get in the box, get yourself set. Go back to basics, what we do best. Hit the target.
Yeah, and you can see him getting more and more frustrated. And I think, like, maybe I'm over-exaggerating, but, like, even so, he's trying to make up, you know, for not scoring goals in other areas of his game. However, he's not been that much better at holding up the ball, like, than Ennis. You know, he's just not doing very much, to be honest. He's not really contributing to the game. And to be honest, even when he was scoring, we were like, he scored, but what else has he done in this game? But he scored, so it didn't matter, right? But now he's not scoring, it's being amplified.
But here's the thing. We have a system that does not rely on our strikers necessarily to create. We have a very creative midfield. We've even got creative defenders who are good on the ball and can, you know, put a cross and can do. I remember thinking of Kel Watts, for example, against Leonorin.
Gillespie's showing signs of it now, isn't he, as well?
Yeah, exactly right. We don't need... I mean, it's sometimes required, depending on the game, but we fundamentally, what we don't need is a striker to create. We need a striker to score. Get in the box and finish. And there's a big difference from Florian played under Adams, where the striker, far less important their goal scoring, far more important how much they got someone like Carey and Lemieux into good attacking positions. Totally different ball game now. And if Jeff, the primary skill we need is finishing, and just I would imagine Jeff Cott has some kind of confidence problem, but it's important to say we don't actually know. You know, we shouldn't just go around saying that Jeff Cott's lacking on confidence, because how are we to know for sure unless he's come out and said it, which I might have missed.
No, well, he's certainly not anything of that kind, but I agree that it looks like it's that, even if we don't know it's that.
You'd imagine he's playing around his head a bit. He'll know.
I mean,
but we don't know that he's necessarily lacking confidence.
I mean, I saw him, because I was like at the sort of pitch level yesterday, and he just let a touch go and it went out of play, and you could kind of see his head go back and like his eyes close and just like, oh, not again. And I was thinking, like, that's a guy that just needs a goal. Like, he needs a goal. But it's as simple as that. He needs a goal.
Well, it's not as simple as that, because he scored 2 goals in pre-season.
Yeah, but come on.
Ultimately,
it's such a nonsense name, because Hardy needed a goal. He scored against MK Dons, and then he was on a good run of form, but it's not like it unleashed a spell of goal scoring.
Yeah, but to be fair, he was creating in that period that he wasn't scoring as well. But
he was creating before then anyway. But you know what I mean? The need to goal thing is, I know I've said it as well, I'm hardly...
But, I mean, he's gone 20 games without a goal, you know? It's like... So he scored against Plymouth Parkway, a header from a corner, and they weren't marking properly, and a penalty.
I think the point Nick's probably saying is, yes, obviously, of course, he could do it with a goal, but a goal's not necessarily going to get him scoring regularly. And you're right, it's not necessarily, but if confidence is a problem, that certainly would help. It certainly would at least make it more likely he would then score again. It would, you know, even if it wouldn't guarantee it. Well, in the middle of you there.
I mean,
the thing we should ask about is going into the Rotherham game, because that's basically what we're talking about now, is. Who are the two best strikers in the that are going to help us play the way we want to play? Because some people might see Rotherham as a side coming down from the Championship, a side that we can play on the counter-attack to and sit back against. But Rotherham are hardly known for their skill and ability in possession. It might well be that we have plenty of territory, if not all the time, but significant portions in the game. We have the ball in their area and we've got the room to create something. And in which case, assuming Jeff Cott isn't going to miss any chance of falls to him or isn't going to get on the end of anything, wouldn't you rather Jeff Cott there than Hardy? And for all Hardy's good performances from pre-season, his finishing still been very wayward. Would you not rather Jeff Cott then?
I can see the argument Jeff Cott might be a better tactical fit, but I just think Hardy looks such a better player at the minute, has had such a better pre-season, and also not only that, but Hardy has actually done the stuff Jeff Cott used to be good at more this pre-season. He's actually gotten the box for some tap-ins this pre-season, which he didn't do very much. So if you're saying, would I rather play Jeff Cott of last season or Hardy of last season against Rotherham, it's Jeff Cott, but both on current form and on adaptation of style, Hardy, without a doubt.
I mean, the other thing, Lowe's obviously got the benefit of seeing, you know, speaking to the player, seeing him in training, seeing what they're like. He doesn't have to make a call until, quarter to two on Saturday. So he's got ample time to see if, you know, because we obviously go on the pre-seasons, but Jeff got could hear like a Rich Vane form in training. He just thinks, fine, I'm going to back him. Like, to be honest, this thing, we don't really understand the psychology behind training and selection, do we?
No.
Because we have like basically no data to relate to on that, so it's totally different.
And
it's something we can't really think about.
Yeah, I would also say that Ryan, I mean, how much this matters, but it must do a little bit. Ryan Lowe was a striker all of his career. You know, he understands the psychology of when strikers go through bad patches. And
was he a striker? He's never mentioned that in the press. That's funny.
No, don't justify that with a laugh. That was an awful effort.
Oh, it wouldn't do bad. Finn liked it.
But so yeah,
he's a junior member. He's just laughing to appease your seniority.
Let's let him make his point. Let's let Finn complete his point. Go on.
So yeah, I mean, he must understand the psychology of a striker and what it feels like when you go through those periods. And I'm sure, you know, if there's one thing that I can I've said that, you know, and we've all said that Lowe's been very good at consistently since he's come in, is improving the attacking output of his players. I mean, but it's like, it's almost, I'm not going to count the goals in pre-season, but, you know, I know you said the kind of golf thing was a bit nonsense, but I don't know. The easy thing would be to say get a fourth striker, which I still think we need. But then you might be putting a bigger dent in Jeff Cott's confidence. You never know.
I think it's obvious all summer we have been looking for a striker for two reasons. One, because when you play a two striker formation, you're not going to get away with three over a 46 game season plus cups. It's not happening. And, you know, maybe you'll integrate Shirley a bit, but you don't want to rely on him as your fourth string striker. So that's reason number one. Reason number two, it's just obvious we've been linked heavily with Paul Mullen. We've been linked with a couple of other strikers, you know, on the kind of rumour accounts, as much as some of them are nonsense. We were definitely interested in Mullen. Alan Nixon said so, and he's very reliable indeed. So we clearly are looking for a fourth striker. And moreover, okay, we didn't sign Mullen, but if we were even going for Mullen, we must have a fair whack of budget allocated for a fourth striker as well. So I would be stunned if one wasn't coming, and I'd actually be fairly surprised if it wasn't a permanent deal, because clearly that is an area he wants to focus on. And frankly, after pre-season, you know, let's not say he's going to sign a fourth striker in response to pre-season, but if he already wanted to sign one, which he did, that's going to make him even more determined to sign one, isn't it, ultimately? So I think definitely one is coming. It's just a question of who and indeed when. Are they going to come in before the Rotherham game? Or is it going to be later in the window? If it's later in the window, we could actually even see Shirley on the bench for the Rotherham game, which I don't think any of us were predicting at the start of pre-season.
Allegedly, you know, Paul Mullen was offered the best contract that Cambridge has ever given out. You know, about 6K a week, some people were saying, that I saw. So, I mean, but either given that apparently one of the things is he wanted to go closer to home as well, which makes sense being from Liverpool and now he's in North Wales. But it must, you know, if they're offering around 6K, then we must be at least matching that if we wanted him to come.
I would have thought so. Yeah. We would. Yeah. And obviously, he's on a lot more at Wrexham thanks to the wealth of their owners. But that's my Siri going off there. Let me just re-say that again. And yeah, we certainly would have offered him a lot, and he's on even more than that at Wrexham due to the wealth of their owners. So yeah, I think clearly we have a fair bit of budget set aside for a fourth striker. And I think the question is not will a fourth striker will come in. The question is who and when, I think, really, with regard to that.
Moving away from that, Finn was raising an interesting point with me earlier, because we're in the midst of writing our season preview, our League One season preview. And I'm just going to big us up quickly, because we did pretty damn well with our predictions last year. I can't say many other websites had Hull as promoted, let alone champions. And we had a couple of our writers, myself included, had that prediction down. We had sides like Charlton and Wigan avoiding the drop when most others were nowhere near it. We had Swindon to go down. We had Burton in trouble, which I know they obviously staged a remarkable recovery, but I'm not sure many people had them in a relegation picture. And yet, come January, they look like favourites to go down.
And I looked at it.
Previous, more like.
Sorry, I looked at it today and I saw that I got. I think the one I got right was Swindon going down and Blackpool to win the playoffs. But I guess yeah, Blackpool always look strong.
And at the end of the day, a season preview is really only a preview of the next 6 months at most, because obviously January and the rest of the transfer window means that from the time you've written it to when you get, you know, when the clubs have settled in terms of transfers and worked everything out, you know, everything can completely change. But anyhow, so we're in the midst of writing this, and Finn raised the question, which is, who would you put as Argyle's key player? Because we always put down a key player for each team. Could you still put Danny Mayer? Who is the key player?
I mean, I kind of need help with this, to be honest, because I'm...
Yeah, this is not just an academic question. This will actually...
Connor Grant agenda incoming. Connor Grant agenda incoming.
Can you really put him down as key player, though? Is he guaranteed to start every single game?
I think so. I think maybe not every single game, but I think he's certainly guaranteed to start at least, you know, 90% of games. He's our top assister. He's been our top creative force in pre-season as well. He didn't play against Torquay, but he's got a lot of assists in pre-season as well.
Has he? I mean, yes. The only one I can think of is, I'm sure there's more, but the only one I can think of is Swansea.
And the corner against Middlesbrough as well. The corner against Middlesbrough.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, well, you know, admittedly only Soltash, but he got one in 45 minutes against Soltash, and I only got one against Parkway as well, I think.
All the back pages. One but, assist in 45 minutes against Soltash.
Yeah, but, you know, ultimately all the other players are competing against the same opposition, aren't they? So he's still the top creative force in terms of assist provided in pre-season, I'm pretty sure.
Here's the thing, I can see it. The gamble you'd have is, for all you know, he's going to go through what Jeffcott's going through, which is, say, he goes the first five games without doing much, and all of a sudden there'll be a question about, you know, was he just, you know, one season he kicked on. But now I can see it, I really can.
Yeah, I mean, I can take that as a sort of, he's definitely a player that was in my thoughts, but the thing is with Mayer, it was like, I don't like. He's a key player, yes, but especially with the arrival of Ryan Broom now. Yeah, okay, I've only seen him one game, but I really think that he's got the ability to be able to challenge Mayer for that position this season. And after two seasons of, what is it? How many seasons has Danny Mayer been in that club now? Three,
two. This is going into his third.
Literally, Lowe's only been here.
Sorry, right? Yes, remember. Two. He's been at the season, but two seasons, right? And maybe this is just Danny Mayer, but every it's been just above average, maybe for overall his performances, but ultimately probably disappointing. Maybe that's based on the hype he was, you know, that was sort of around him when he came into the club. But as I'm writing this, I'm thinking like, Danny Mayer, key player, not so sure this season, you know?
Well, there was one moment in the game yesterday. I'm sure, Finn, you're going to know exactly what I mean before I start describing it for the listener. That was absolutely peak Danny Mayer, right? He gets the ball inside his own
half,
quite away inside his own half as well, actually. He picks up the ball, and call it on the far touchline. So he picks up the ball. He runs into a lot of space with the ball, takes on one, two, three players, gets past all of them. He gets at the edge of the box now. He has probably three, maybe even four, clear openings to shoot. Rather than shooting, he keeps on dribbling. He dribbles himself into a really awkward position on the other side of the penalty box. So he's ran sort of diagonally across the penalty box. He's dribbled himself into a really awkward position on the goal line, kind of angled facing the keeper. Realises he can't dribble any further and ultimately shoots from a far more difficult angle than any of the about three angles he could have shot from in the first place. Finn, am I being unfair describing that incident or not?
No, absolutely
not. No, I'm not. It was an absolutely peak piece of Danny Mayer. Absolutely fantastic dribbling and skill, followed by utterly dreadful decision-making.
Genuinely, if that was Messi up until the finish, you wouldn't have, like, I mean, I know it's Torquay, but like he literally just glided past players, and that's what's so frustrating. But I guess that's why he's in League One, right?
Any of those opportunities to shoot, and I think he would have scored, or at least he would have had a much better probability of scoring.
He literally tried to shoot across the keeper at the tightest angle. It's like, what are you doing?
And it was just a pretty routine save for the keeper in the end. Like, if he'd have shot from any of the other positions, he probably would have scored. But at the very least, he would have given the keeper a much harder save to make than the one he did make. The one he made in the end was quite a routine save from an angled shot, from the kind of touchline, you know, diagonal shot. And he just couldn't. He just wasn't going to score from that shot. It would have had to have been an absolute wonder goal if he'd scored from that shot. It's just so frustrating. He dribbles himself out of better positions and dribbles himself in the harder positions.
I've got two points. Just number one is that Lord Digby Jones would have hated that, Sam, because you were saying free all over the place. And that's an inside joke for anyone who's missed it. It's not even an inside joke. It's a very public joke. Google Alex Scott and you'll find multiple stories about it. ruining the Olympics because she can't pronounce G, apparently.
My apologies to Lord Digby.
point number two is someone seriously needs to have a chat with him and just help him understand why it's worth it. It feels like he will never take a risk. He'll wait until the absolutely optimum, like his highest chance of completing a pass it is, but by then everyone's back. You know, just take a shot, even if it's more likely to get blocked. Just take a risk. It drives me absolutely nuts. If you've got a half chance to get a shot in, sometimes you need to get the shot in rather than waiting for the perfect opening, which isn't coming.
Can I just, I mean, this is an anthem in the podcast, but can I just plug this basically. So I've been writing the player ratings today. This is what I said for Danny Mayer. Danny Mayer was as usual above average when he came on. When he squared them up, Torquay's defenders could barely touch him, and he had two shots, one that bent over the bar and had another when he went past most of the team on a brilliant solo run and carried it into the box before having a shot a bit too late to allow a keeper to make a save. Now, whilst this might sound like all positives, when they are for most players, we know that Mayer can do that, but it is almost always the end product that lets him down, and it's the same all the time. I feel like I've said or written that about 3,000 times since he's come to the club.
But I mean, again, yeah, right, so the Carey comparison, but look at the Carey screens from outside the box. For everyone he hit there, about five or six went absolutely nowhere near goal or a relatively routine save. But then he scored far more because he took more risks, rather than just, you know, having a spell of possession in the corner. Now, that's not to say you should never do that. Just this. And let's face it, Mayer got unlucky because last season he had some absolutely brilliant efforts that just wouldn't. I remember a screamer, you know, brilliant shot against Southampton that went just wide, but it looked like it was destined for the top corner. Hit the bar against Wimbledon, wasn't it, when we were 4-2 down?
Yeah.
Right before we got the two goals. There were moments where he was very unlucky to not score. And so it's not like he wasn't taking it, but given the amount of territory he has, the number of chances he has to shoot, just sometimes he needs to speed it up rather than slow it down. Sometimes he needs to take a risk rather than retaining possession. Simple as that. He just, like Sam said, it comes back to decision making. He doesn't really have any in that regard.
And that's,
he does. That's, it's an awful thing to say, but it's just so frustrating.
And that
could do so much more.
That's why I'm hoping. So if Lowe and the coaching staff haven't been able to change that kind of, I need to be producing a bit more, well, I need to be producing goals and assists a bit more, given my ability. That's why I'm hoping Ryan Broom can kind of provide that and go, maybe if, I know this sounds stupid, maybe if he literally just sits on the bench and watches Ryan Broom for a game, and then Ryan Broom, because Ryan Broom had about three shots yesterday, if I remember rightly, Sam. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, he had a few. Yeah, I can remember two. I can remember clearly. I think I'm pretty sure the third, it was a bit more of a half chance. But yeah, he certainly was more intentful to shoot than
yeah. So if maybe if you just watch Ryan Broom, and then Ryan Broom scores one from 25 yards out, for example, when he takes a shot, and Danny Mayer goes, oh, I can actually score from it, because I don't know why he doesn't. It must be just a. I mean, to be fair, if you look at his highlights, I didn't watch Barry in Italy when Blow was there, but. You know, when you look at his season at Bury and his goals, he still does wait until the last moment to shoot. He just scored 15 goals that season, or was it 12 or something like that? 15 goals in all competitions.
Yeah. 12 in league, may have been 15 all competitions. Yeah, certainly right. 12 in the league, I think. Yeah.
So I'd say, wrapping this up, sort of thing. Then we'll do predictions, but it's also let's quickly run through what's your. Right now, what's your starting lineup away to Rotherham? I think we have a good idea of what it's going to be.
Yeah,
I'll go then. Cooper, Wilson, Scar, Gillespie. I think Gillespie did a better pre-season than Galloway. He's made that left centre-back spot zone for now. Tuffy for the deep line central midfield. My heart says Randall, but I'm going to go with Houghton. I just think he's just a bit more in a bit there and done it. Ultimately, Randall will get his chance for sure. I'm going to go. Sorry, Nick.
I think so too. Randall will get his chance. I
agree. Yeah, definitely. Edwards at the right wing back. That one pretty much writes itself. Central midfield two. I was kind of toying with putting Kamara in because I kind of was of the inclination that Rotherham might be a bit more defensive games and what want a runner in there. But actually, not so much because not only, like you said, they're not really associated with good football, but they've actually got a lot of injuries at the minute. So we may well actually end up being us who takes the game to them. So I'm going to say Broom and Mayer. And let's just go for it a bit. Out on the left, obviously Conor Grant, again with Cooper injured, that one pretty much writes itself. And the striking two, as mentioned earlier, I would go Hardy and Ennis. Subs bench of Burton.
Let's not bother with the subs bench here.
Okay.
I'm sorry, before you go, Finn, I'll say I'm the same, albeit I'm bringing in Camera for Broom. I think there's going to be quite a few counter-attacking chances. I think Rotherham will pull men forward, and that's going to give space for Camera on the counter. That's my thought.
Yeah, I would go for...
I can see the logic.
I would go for the same. I mean, maybe, I don't know if it's biased or not, but because I'm a really big fan of him, but I wouldn't be surprised to see if if Randall started, it wouldn't be a shock to me. But yeah, I agree. I think that
no, not me.
I actually think I know you sound stupid, but if Randall was a couple of years older, he'd probably start this game, if that makes sense. But I don't think Lowe, like first game of the season, Lowe will just want somebody who maybe trusts a bit more. I'm not sure.
I think there'll be a bit of management, a bit of kind of player management. I think there'll be a bit of right, you know, let's just ease him in gently, ease him back in. It's still worth remembering that he had about a 3 week off season, didn't he? He didn't have much of a holiday at all due to his late finish with Torquay. So yeah, I think you're right, Finn. I think Lowe will very much be of the view of ease him in, but. Yeah. I could easily see either way.
And like the, on the Kamara stuff. So I mean, Bream's had one match with this squad, and I think that Nick could be right that Rotherham, you know, ultimately, you know, it's the first game back for, you know, first proper game back for everybody. They'll want to put on some sort of show for their fans if they can, because they haven't been there in however many months for a league game. I think I would go Kamara as well, and then, you know, what a substitution to bring off the bench with 30 minutes to go, for example.
Particularly if you're chasing him, you've got the territory. Yeah. But, I mean, it's first start of the season. People aren't in top form. Might be some sloppy passes, and Kamara's counter pressing. I feel like I say Kamara and Kamara interchangeably about 100 times per podcast.
It's the new Randall or Randell.
His counter pressing, Gillespie and Gillespie. His counter pressing, I feel like, is going to be useful in that game. I think that's my thought. And then lastly, then score predictions for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, I haven't heard that for a long time. I don't think 1-1.
Sam?
2-0 to Argyle. I'm going to go positive. I mean, it'll be a bit of a shock result, but I think we can hit their injury exploits and just exploit their injuries, I should say, rather, and go for them and just hit them with a good, confident performance start of the season. 2-0 to Argyle.
We've won both our season openers under Lowe, haven't we?
We have.
We were traditionally pretty crap when it came to season openers. Sheridan and Adams, weren't we? Because obviously
we were. We in fact didn't win any of Sheridan's two season openers, and we only won one of Adams, which was his first ever game.
Yeah. Okay, based on that, then I'll go for a 2-1 win, just based on that, because I think some managers, because Adams always seemed to finish strong. Sheridan seemed to finish stronger than he started. Below thus far seems to start well and finish less well.
Yeah.
So let's go that way around. Let's say that we'll win the opening day game.
Yeah.
Let's go for that. 2-1. Right, that's it. That's the show. Thank you all so much for listening. Fingers crossed, coming back to a win next week. Have a lovely day and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.